I appreciate the choir. I appreciate the singers of the church. And I appreciate you, church. I'm glad to be here this morning. If you got your Bible, I want to read just a couple of verses out of the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. And tell you the thought that I have on my heart. And I was going down the road yesterday morning, real early. I was going down Highway 5, going from Douglasville down to Whitesburg. And on that road, you know, there are little churches. I pass one little church, and I just the way that I am, when I pass little churches, I look at them and I think about them. You know, some people, when they pass a ball stadium, they look at it and they think about it. Folks, God's work and God's church is just the most important thing to me. And before I, you know, became a pastor here, I used to ride by little churches and I'd look at them and I'd think about them. I'd wonder what kind of ministry they had. I would wonder what kind of services, what went on. And I'm passing these churches and I come up on one in Whitesburg and the light's reflecting on it and it's really hadn't even gotten daylight yet and it's just got just enough light that you can see it. And all of a sudden it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Like God spoke to me. Like Jesus spoke to me. And you say, well, he don't do that. Yes, he does. Read your Bible. Amen. He said, if people love me, these houses would be full.
Amen.
And I began to think about it. You know, in Paulding County, and I didn't know this until recently, some things that were going on with the sheriff's department. They say per capita there are less churches in Paulding County than any other county in the state of Georgia. And as I begin to think about that, and I think about the verse of Scripture that says the fields are white already to harvest. Now, folks, Jesus is coming soon. But in the meantime, we've got things that we need to do. In the meantime, we need to be serving God. We need to be standing for God. And sometimes you can be doing, but if you notice a lot of these songs this morning, they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about Him loving us. And I want to read this scripture out of Revelation chapter 2 this morning, and I want to preach on this subject, first love. We'll get into this scripture, and we're going to talk a little bit, and we're going to compare it to our lives, and you'll begin to remember, and you'll begin to see. Well, we're going to talk about first love. But in Revelation chapter number 2, I want to read verse number 1 through verse number 7. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, which is persistence. And for my name's sake hast labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And that is make-believe Christians, is what those people were. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. And God, you know I need you. I'm just, Lord, wanting and desiring to be your servant. Lord, I pray that you'd send exactly that and only that that you would have for this hour. God, that you'd bless your people and you'd help us to honor you. Lord, help us to remember how important that is and that is why we're here. We give you the honor, Lord. We give you the praise, the glory. Ask you to have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you read this scripture and you begin to look at the first part of this chapter, the first verse begins to talk about who is speaking here. This is God. This is Jesus Christ. If you go over to the first chapter of Revelation in chapter number 1, in verse number 1, it says it is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him. Now here's Jesus, he's speaking and it's identifying him and his power and his greatness. And then he begins to speak to the church and he's talking about them and what he knows about them. Now here's what I want you to understand about this church, facts about the church at Ephesus. That this church is by any standard a magnificent church. It is a tremendous church. It is a church that is busy doing things for God. It is a church that has demonstrated patience. It's a church that has power with God. You see, they were fervent for God. They loved God, but they did not love God the right way. If you begin to look at this scripture, it's like God is saying, I am commanding you to love me the right way. He says, if not, I will take away your right to be a church. He said, I'll remove your candlestick. I'll take away your right to be a church. Now, here's what I want us to understand is that doesn't the Bible teach us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good? There's nothing hidden from God. God knows everything about us. I mean, sometimes the problem is getting us to see ourselves. I was in a conversation with a guy the other day, and he started off like this. He said, you know I'm an umpire. He said, everything I do it in a controversial manner. And I just looked at him. I said, really? And I listened a few more minutes, and he kept on telling me things about himself. And that's all he wanted to say is why he was the way that he was. And I looked at him and I couldn't help but say this. Well, maybe you don't know yourself. You see, what we need to realize, the problem is not God and how God sees us. Sometimes it's how we relate to him and we really knowing who we are. You ever heard anybody say this? Well, that's just the way that I am. Well, maybe you need to get right with God. Well, here's these people and they're busy and they're doing all these things and all the right things. But the truth is God really knows what's real. And you cannot fool God. You see, God knew their works. And folks, God knows our works. You know, if you look at the scripture, he knew their works and their labor. He said, I know thy works. Now, here's something about this church. They were giving 100% plus. They didn't have a problem getting people to sign up when it come time to do things, okay? They had people that were working and they were willing to give and they were willing to be involved. And in fact, they were going above and beyond. And folks, I want to tell you something, not against that. To have a church, you got to have that. Okay, especially a church like Hiram First Baptist Church that is moving and growing. You have a Bible school with 155 kids. You've got Awana. You've got a wild game banquet where over 600 people show up. You got to have people that are willing to work. Amen. And I thank God for you, and I thank God for that. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit, and we said, everybody doing such a good job, we're just going to double everybody's salary. Now, folks, you laugh at that. But you're doing what you do for God. Amen. And you know, God looks at this church and he said, I commend you. He said, I know your works. And then he says, I know your patience. Now here's what patience is. Patience is letting God do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Nobody wants God's will who does not want God's timetable. Now think about that for just a minute. There are times that I want something done and I want God to do it and I'm just absolutely antsy. You know how we are. We negotiate with God. We plead with God. We say, well, God, if you're God, and you know, you got to be careful about giving God ultimatums. But you know, but sometimes we do that. But he said, I know your patience. Now, folks, here's what patience is. It's when you just sit down. What does the Bible say? Having done all to stand, still stand. That means keep on standing. If things aren't going exactly the way you want them and you've tried your best to be right with God, just stand there and be patient. And let God do what only God can do. And here's one thing I've learned about God's work. I cannot do the work that God needs to do in your life. I can't get frustrated. All I can do is my part and let God do His part. And if you've got somebody in your life that you're loving and you're caring about and you've tried to reach out to them and it's not moving, then you just stand. And He said, I see how you stand. Then you go on and He says, I see how that you cannot bear with them that are evil. Now here's something about the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus had not gotten comfortable with sin. There are churches today that have absolutely gotten comfortable with sin. They had no comfort zone with evil. In other words, even though the world around them may have been changing, the world around them may have been accepting of this and accepting of that, they said, we still stand on the Word of God, and we're going to continue to stand, and we know why we believe what we believe, and we believe what's written in the Word of God. Now, folks, here's I want to give you a fact check real quickly. Well, when we see things going on in the world, this book wasn't written yesterday. This was written over a period of several thousand years by about 40 different writers in three different languages by holy men of old that were moved on by the Holy Spirit. It is the written Word of God. He said, I see how you cannot bear with them that are evil. See, this was not a church of compromisers. They were not changed by what was commonly accepted in their day. I heard this week where a Christian writer had come out and he said, I've been pretty adamant in my position about a certain thing. He said, but I'm just going to go ahead and change it. And this is what he said. He said, I'm going to change it because the world's going to force you to change anyway. Well, they tried to do that. Do you know that during the Roman Emperor Nero's day, when the Christians would not serve, they would not bow, they would not change, and there was all kind of evil in the Roman Empire, they were hated simply because they did what was right. I want to tell you something today. This church was a church that stood. In the day and time that we live in, this is truly the kind of church that we need to be. You know, I could ask the question, does anything surprise you anymore? But didn't you hear that 10 years ago? Yeah. And as we progress and we go on, here's the way I am. It's almost like sometimes when I hear things that are going on, I'm kind of like, are you serious? Really? When I see this unicorn that they're using in the schools and they're putting it on the walls and they're talking about the neutral gender unicorn, and I'm saying, really? I had a guy come to me yesterday. We were talking, and he talked about how that he's got a girl that's in the 8th grade chorus, and they've got a guy in there that's just messing them up. He said they went to the teacher. They said, well, there ain't nothing he could do about it. He's identified as a girl. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be critical of anybody, but does anything surprise you anymore? Sometimes I'm amazed at what I see going on around me. But this church stood. Now look at another thing about this church. He said, I know how you have tried them which they say they are apostles and are not, and you found them liars. And here's what he's saying. They knew and they recognized false doctrine. See, they rejected false doctrine. I heard this week where a particular preacher came out and he apologized because he said the name of Jesus in the pulpit. He said, I will no longer say the name of Jesus. I will refer to God. That way it won't offend you, and it won't offend you, and everybody can get along. Folks, I want to tell you, there's no other name given among men whereby a man must be saved other than the name of Jesus. See, this church understood false doctrine. They understood false apostles. They had recognized them. They had rejected it. And here's the point. God, Jesus, He knew all these things. And they did all this without fainting. They were faithful. And this truly is very important. In fact, all of these things that are specifically acknowledged about them by Jesus Christ Himself are very, very important. You see, there's no telling what the church will go through before Jesus comes. We do not know if they are going to go online and hear me preach and they'll show up here one day and they'll want to shut the door. Because everybody has rights except you as Christians. Everybody's got religious freedom, and we can build a mosque, and we can do this, and we can do that. But because you believe in Jesus Christ, you are an offense to the world. We don't know what we're going to face. And when we look at this scripture, these things are very, very important. And when we talk about them, we feel the importance of them. We feel the need of our day. But look at what Jesus said in verse number 4. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Because you have left your first love." Now what this scripture teaches us, and here's what I want us to understand, is you must love God first. And in order to love God first, you must love God with first love. And here's some things about first love. First love always follows first works. Now here's the question. How will you know if you have first love? And the answer is you will have first works. We know first love with God, with Jesus, the same way that we know first love with each other. Now I want to ask you to think about it for just a minute. Have you ever experienced first love? If you have, especially when we get into this, you'll begin to think about it. And if sometimes, if you haven't experienced it or if you have, you're going to know it. But sometimes you can see first love. You see, we understand first love with God the same way that we understand first love with each other. See, all these great things were great about the church, but Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love." And I've said this before, and I mean this with all my heart. What God wants is you. You know, all the things that we do, they're great things. But you can get so busy that you're letting your relationship with God go. God wants you. I want to talk about three things or three happenings that have to do with first love. Yesterday when I began to think about these things, and all day long yesterday I was doing some work, and it just kept coming in my mind. There's a couple of times my wife called me and I was talking to her. And one time I specifically asked her, I said, "You know that I love you, don't you?" I want to make sure she knew it. Because I know I was going to have to preach this message today. And I want her to know that I loved her. Now here's some things about first love, and this is why I said that to her. Number one, first love. You have a consuming passion to think about. It's always on your mind. Some of you remember long ago what that was like, but you notice these young people today? Some of you parents get frustrated with it. You don't have to go over there every night. You don't have to be around them all the time. Get off the telephone. You see, I can remember the first time I ever saw my wife. We were at a revival at Harper's Lake Baptist Church right over here in Hiram. And I'm just going to be honest. I was a single Christian man and I was looking for a girl. And I didn't go to the bar looking for a girl. I went to church. And I was in church, and I was checking out what was in the neighborhood. And I went over there, and I went in church, and like normal, I went down close to the front, and I was sitting down there, and every time the door would open, I'd look. The door opened, here come these two blonde-headed girls in. I said, "Yes, Lord." She came down and sat right behind me. You know how it is in a little church? I could not wait for time to shake hands. I got up and I went over and shook hands. She didn't know I was in the world. But I saw her. And folks, I want you to know I drove to, and I didn't know where she went to church. I didn't get to meet her. But I drove to every church in Paulding County trying to find where she went to church. I went up to Rock Baptist. I went to the church right down the street. I went to every church I could think of. Where is she at? I was just thinking she was on my mind, and you know, I wanted a Christian wife. Now let me tell you something. You don't find a Christian wife at the bar. I begin to look and I begin to seek and I begin to, all I could think about was her. I was going to a little church down in Mableton in Cobb County, and in usual fashion, the door opened about 5 minutes after church time and in walked her family. You know what I thought? I said, Lord, you've sent her to me. Now, her family was late everywhere they went. But she come in and she had a guy with her. Didn't matter. I went up to her and I shook her hand. I talked to her. Of course, this guy, he's a loser, this bozo. He was looking at me. I did. The next time I saw her, she had got rid of him. But you know, the truth is, first love, there's a consuming passion to think about. I called my wife yesterday because I want to make sure she knew that I love her, because when I went into a lot of this stuff and I began to think about it, the truth is I thought, I wonder if I'm showing her that today. And when I began to look at it and I began to think about it and I thought about her, here's what I want you to understand. What's on your mind? Do you think about Jesus? Do you pass by churches and does it mean something to you? Or is it more important, as Brother Allen preached here Wednesday night, you know, I can start talking about the Georgia Bulldogs that won yesterday, and I can start talking about Alabama that won yesterday, and I can start talking about LSU and all the other teams, and we'd be having a cheering section in here in just a few minutes. How much do you get excited about Jesus? Amen. Do you think about Him? Is there a passion in your mind? You know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing, but here's what God wants from you when He says nevertheless. He wants a personal relationship with you to where you speak to Him every day. He's on your mind. You see, the passion of our mind, what is constantly on your mind, it defines you. Some people, all they can think about is a new car, a new truck, a new house, a new career, a big buck, a big fish, new clothes. You already know. You know what's consumed your mind so much, but what should it be? Because where your mind goes, your life will follow. We should pray and ask God to help our mind be passionate about Him. Here's number two. First, you have a compassion to think about. Then you have a consuming desire to be with. Isn't that what first love is? You know, once you meet them, and I can remember once I finally met Kendra, and we were down there at this little church. It was Zion Hill Baptist Church down there. And the pastor that we had, he helped me out. Because I was standing there, and I'm backwards. I was shy and I didn't feel confident. He walked over. She was standing there, and he looked at her. He said, we need her to come sing Sunday, and we need you to go get her. I said, well, I guess I could do that. So I went and got her. She came to church and sang. That day, we went to radio broadcast afterwards. And from then on, all I wanted to do was be with her. You see, she lived in Douglasville. I lived in Ellijay. It was 80 miles. Back in those days, I didn't care if I slept. I didn't have to have as much rest as I do now. In fact, there's probably not a bridge between here and Ellijay I hadn't slept under. I was behind the racetrack gas station up there in Woodstock, and the police. I said, I'm just resting. I got to drive all the way to Ellijay. I've been to Douglasville to see my girlfriend. You see, you have a consuming desire to be with.
Now, here's something I thought about, and I hate to admit this. But the first year that we met when we were dating, I did not hunt one time. I did not go to the woods. I can remember going through Talking Rock, and I'm driving down through there, and a big 8-point across the road. I just stopped and looked at it. I reached my hand out as it went across the field. I began to think, Lord, we got to get married so I can get back in the woods. So I did check, you know I love you. You see, you stop and think about it. You remember these days? You see these things? You have a desire and that passion that is there. I want to tell you something. If you love Jesus, you're going to want to be with Him. Amen. If you love Jesus, you're going to want to hear His Word. If you love Jesus, you're going to want to be in a place that you can worship Him and you can be filled with His Spirit and He can move on you because He's the Almighty God. He's the Lord of your life. He's the King of Kings. He saved your soul from hell. It ought to be a passion in you. What about the little kids? To me, it's so great when you see how kids love their parents. It's like a kid that says to their daddy, Daddy, I don't want you to go out of town. I want you to be home with me. Daddy, I don't want you to leave. Daddy, I don't like going to bed at night when you don't put me in the bed. The kids have that love and that compassion for us, and they give us a picture. The question for us is, do we desire to be in His presence? The Scripture says in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Here's what I want you to understand about it. It's intimate. It's not just sitting in a service. It's receiving His Spirit and communing with Him as Lord. Without first love, here's what church is. It becomes duty. Well, as you got to go, it's Sunday. Well, folks, when I say I'd rather be here than anywhere else, amen. I mean that. Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather sit, and I don't have to be the one preaching. I love to preach. But when I said here Sunday night and Stephen Curry was preaching, it was just like, I was like this. Yeah. It was good. I wanted more. Yeah. See, without first love, everything turns to duty. Question, do you enjoy worship or do you come out of duty? And then the third and the last is when you have first love, you have a passion to do for. See, you always want to do something for them. See, I can remember those times in my life and, you know, over 28 years ago, going to the jewelry store and looking at rings and wanting to buy one. And at that time, my wife, she was going to school and she was working at, I think it was Rocking Horse Daycare, Saks Daycare. And she went and she didn't have a lot of money. That's the way it is when you start out, isn't it? A lot of money and all the bills. She told me the story of going and putting this wedding ring right here that I have on layaway. And she saved her money and she bought it. It's got a little cross in it. And she did that. See, when you have first love, it is a thrill to do for. I can remember when I was growing up, and, you know, first starting to date, my mother would watch me. If I ever talked about buying something for a girl, she said, boy, come here. She'd start trying to make sure I was on the right track. But I can remember those days. You know, it wasn't a burden, it wasn't a chore, it was something that you wanted to do. Sometimes my kids and my grandkids, they're such a blessing to me. You know how it is at school when they have Santa shop. You know, you send your kids to school with $5 or $10 and they go in there and they look at all this stuff. And the truth is, you know, it's just little trinkets and it's a little of this and it's a little of that. And they buy it and they bring it home and they wrap it up and the paper's all messed up. And they just cannot wait till Christmas till they can give it to you. Yeah. You know, I can remember some of my kids, they'd go under the Christmas tree and they'd get that thing out and it was all wrapped. You know, you could just about tell what it was. And it was all a mess and they'd take it and they'd hand it to you and they'd say, "Daddy, I want you to have it." I'd say, "It's not Christmas." But you know what they'd say? They'd say, "Daddy, but I love you and I want you to have it." You see, when you have a consuming desire to do for, that's first love. Yes. And when we have a relationship with God that's like it's supposed to be, we're going to serve Him because we love Him. And here's something I want you to understand about serving Him. When you love Him, you will love His people.
Yes. Amen.
See, God wants you to bring something to Him with first love. You see, first love is always followed by first works. We can be busy and we are. We can have great things and we do. But I'll tell you something, the greatest thing that'll ever help any church is when its church members fall in love with Jesus. See, when you fall in love with Jesus, nobody's going to have to pry your wallet open to get you to give. When you fall in love with Jesus, nobody's going to have to beat you over the head to get you to come and be involved in what's going on. When you fall in love with Jesus, you're going to want to be in His presence, and you're going to want to be in His house, and you're going to want to worship, and you're going to want to feel Him in your life. So the conclusion is God wants us to have first love for Him. Folks, this is evidenced by first works. And I'll ask you, what would it take for you to have first love for Jesus? I want to ask you to rise to your feet, and we're going to play a song. And sometimes I guess God has to speak to me and help me to realize and understand, and I want you to understand this. When you're doing things for God, and we love one another, we do, there's going to be in people, I'm just going ahead and tell you, there's going to be people in heaven that some of you don't like. But they're going because they're saved. And when God looks at them, there's probably some things about him he don't like either. But I begin to think about that and God began to convict me. And you know what God said? There's things about you I don't like. And these people probably don't like me. But if we love him, we're going to love one another. First love is followed by first works. We're going to play a song. If God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray, this is the most important part of the service.
Yes.
It's when you do business with God. Go
yes.
ahead.
are beautiful. Oh God, there is no one more beautiful. You are beautiful. God, you are the most beautiful.
Play if you would, Miss Becky. We got people in the altar still praying. We're going to give them time to pray. But while they're praying, she's going to play this one verse, and we're going to open the doors of the church. If you're here and you want to join this church, and you can join by baptism, which we'll be glad to baptize, or you can join by statement. But we'll give you an opportunity. We'd love to have you come and be a part of what we're doing if this is where you feel like that God would have you to be. She plays one verse. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for being a part of our service. I really appreciate your church. I appreciate the good singing. I appreciate God's spirit. And I do love to be in the house of the Lord. And